Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brenda, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we have a really great guest. Lydia Hibby, author and animal communicator, will be joining us. Before we get started, I want you to join me and welcome my co-hosts. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
You want me to speak for him?
Well. Yeah.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here.
Are you alive, Earth to Steve?
It's me, Steve, I swear.
Okay, doing tonight.
That's Bobby.
Sorry.
Okay, so what are we going to hear from Steve?
Bobby's got the perfect voice for a role in Oliver Twist or something.
I love Oliver Twist. So how are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Very well. Excited about the show.
Oh, good. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do, what your specialty is in your work?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium, so my greatest passion is to connect with spirits, to connect with people that have passed from this lifetime, this physical existence, into the spirit world. I am also very interested in all forms of metaphysics, from numerology to astrology and tarot. I just can't get enough.
Oh, he's obsessed.
I am.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Maureen, how are you doing?
I'm here. Thank you very much. And okay, thank you. And I want to say thank you last week because I wasn't here, you guys, for taking care of the show. Really want to thank all the hosts.
We missed you.
I know, you sure did. Yeah,
I
ways.
Just did a Marine accent and then
did you?
The show.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. It was
fast talking? I imitate all you guys. You just don't
yeah,
know.
You're one of those character actors.
He even dressed up like you, Maureen.
I even dressed up.
Yeah, his
wears clothes.
He was in his prime of eccentricity of it all of me.
So tell us about your expertise.
Well, Bobby knows what they are. No, he's me. Okay, well, at my expertise is, well, it goes like this. I'm a empath. I think we all have that going on, but I feel deeply and sometimes with a heavy heart, but I have a caring heart, so I like to help people with my clairvoyant. You know, I have all that C stuff, most of them. I'm not going to go through them all because we could be here forever, but I do. You know, tarot is I'm very well versed in my tarot, and I utilize that as a tool to help people make better decisions and directions in their life. And also, I am involved with child finders, which is anybody can be involved, even people that aren't this, professionally doing this work. Child finders, is an organization and they help the authorities throughout the U.S. So anybody out there listening, anybody can get on, just go to Child Finders or Google it, you can find out. And I enjoy my work very much.
I think all of us, you've got to have it in your heart to be a psychic. Am I right, you guys? You really
yeah.
I mean, it's not just a job, it's an adventure.
No, it's hard too, but it's what
it's a lifestyle, isn't it? It's your
absolutely
life.
It's
not,
it's
oh, this isn't something I just do or I decided I'm going to do. It's you. It's who you are now.
It's all inclusive.
Yeah, so thank you, Brenda.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, Bobby. Last but not least. Okay, Bobby, tell us about you and how you're doing. How was your week?
It was good. I had a good week. fairly busy. I had my birthday was last week, and then my little girls was
birthday.
On Tuesday. Thank you. So yeah, we've been kind of busy with that. But I also am a psychic medium like Steve, and specialty, I guess, I don't know that there's one specialty I have other than I really enjoy, you know, that feeling of kind of going beyond the readings and going beyond answers, right? And kind of leading people to go, well, it's not mystical about what I do, but here's what I'm feeling and here's how you can feel that also, you know what I mean? And pointing that out. So that's kind of exciting to me. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that. Not many want to go down that path though. Sometimes they just want to, yeah. Nice. World love, peace, all that kind of stuff. Just tell me. And so then you have to kind of give them answers, but I enjoy, you know, speaking to somebody who's like a sponge, you know, really wants to soak that up.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBobby.
My favorite.
Okay. Well, I'm Brenda. Some people know me as Lady Brenda. That's kind of my stage name. I'm a predictive psychic. I'm kind of old school, crystal ball, palms, and tarot. I'm straightforward. I specialize in dates, times, and places. So that's it in the ball of wax. So,
thank you.
Anyhow, tonight I am so well. We're getting ready for the drum roll for our guest here. Brump, you know, tonight I'm delighted and so honored to interview our special guest, Lydia Hibby. Lydia is an internationally acclaimed animal communicator. She's used her gift as a psychic and intuitive to connect with animals, tapping into their thoughts and emotions to relay information to the people who love them. Lydia graduated from the Agricultural College in Delhi, New York, with an animal science degree in animal health technology. As an animal health technician, she worked in a variety of animal clinics, including the nationally known cat practice in New York City. Hibby later had the opportunity to study with Beatrice Leidecker, a renowned animal communicator. Lydia is the author of Conversations with Animals. In Conversations with Animals, Lydia talks about her own experience communicating with animals, which started when she was a child. She was never discouraged nor told that she was hearing things like people have often told us we're hearing things, or that it was ridiculous or impossible. And in her book, Hibby discusses ways that others can learn to communicate with their companion animals, as well as searching for lost pets and grief counseling. Most importantly, Conversations with Animals reinforces the powerful connection that weaves together the lives of animals and humans. Since then, her clients have relied on her for accurate information to unlock health, emotional, and behavioral problems with animals. She has often worked with veterinarians and trainers, providing them with information which they would have missed had they not asked the patient. Literally asked the patient. Please welcome author and animal communicator, Lydia Hibby.
Hey, thanks so much. That was great. Thank you so much for inviting me. Looking forward to this all week.
Oh, you know what? I am so stoked to have you, I have to tell you, because we kind of crossed paths years ago at Olive Tree Ranch. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I've been there a bunch of times, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Kathleen and Mary, and you had a horse back then named Chocolate. I remember that.
Yep, and he's on the other side, and now I have a horse named Traveler who I've had for 5 years. He's on the front page of my website. So,
oh, is that him, huh? Ah,
yeah.
He looks similar to your other horse.
Yeah. He's a Tennessee Walker. My other horse was a warm blood thoroughbred cross, but yeah, so it took a while for me to decide to get into another one, but I've had Traveler now for 5 years, so it's fun. He's my big child.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there are so many people listening that, you know, their animals are like their children. I know that's
absolutely
the same with me. I mean, that's their family. Their animals are their family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're going to be curious to know how you got into this. And, you know, tell us about some of your first experiences that you can remember. I mean, like, how old were you when you first got some messages?
Sure. I guess I was about 3. The cover of the book is me talking to a goose. That's an actual photograph that my dad took when we went to
the park. Oh, that's you. That's awesome.
Yeah. And my mom used to take me on nature walks. We lived in Connecticut for a while. And So we would go through the neighborhood, and I would say hi to all the animals, and I would tell her stuff, and she had a pretty good memory. And then when I was down for a nap and my grandmother was watching me, she'd go back, and people would say, you know, your child said this, this, and this. And not unlike a lot of people who did this as a child, we forget. I mean, truthfully, we're all blessed to have this ability. It's just a matter mm-hmm. of paying attention to it, as I'm sure the other people that have been on the panel would attest to. It's whether or not you use it. And so then I went to ride horses when I was younger. I was a professional show groom on the East Coast for a long time. And that's where, and I had also gone to school to be a vet tech, like you said in the intro, and mm-hmm. kind of forgotten about it a little bit. And then when Beatrice came to the horse ranch that we were at in New Jersey, they said, this woman from California is going to talk to the animals. And me being a dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker going, yeah, right, whatever. You know, I kind of forgot I was doing it and really was kind of a skeptic and had to show it to me, et cetera, et cetera. So the first day she was, you know, kind of doing horses at random like I do now. And then by the second day, everybody was coming up to me going, she really knew about this and she was talking about you. And I'm like, oh, God. So by the second day, she looked at me and she goes, oh, you're the one that doesn't believe me. And I was like, well, kind of deer in headlights. And she said, I'm really looking for someone to train. This was like in the 80s. And at mm-hmm. the time, it was only her and a couple of people had heard of Penelope, who was also one of the first kind of people doing it. But so by the second day, she said, look, you know, I'm heading on to my next location and I would like to connect with you. And are you interested? And I said, well, okay, why did you pick me? And part of it was my medical background, but the other part of it was all the horses that I was caring for. They were kind of the comedians or the difficult horses in the barn, mm-hmm. and those were the ones I dealt with. And she said all the horses that I talked to kept saying that you were talking to them. And I thought about it, and I always dealt with an animal by putting myself in their hooves, if that makes sense. And how
that totally makes sense. You know, it's funny. My animals that I, when I'm doing readings, they always come around in my office at home. They yep. must have known you were going to be on the show because they're all in here now. all three like, cats and two dogs.
Say hi. So, so anyway, she had asked me if any of the animals on that ranch were mine, and I said no, but I gave her a photograph that I had in my wallet, like a lot of people do, and she showed, you know, she told me so much about that dog in like 2 minutes where, you know, there was no way she could have had any background. So I was kind of like dazed and confused, and she said, well, here's my number, and off she went, and so then I went to California to interview for jobs and followed her around, and one thing kind of led to another. So when I first moved here, I probably followed her around for 2 or 3 years, you know, doing it once in a while until I really felt confident enough. And then she finally said, look, I'm swamped and I need help. So if anybody had told me 27 odd years ago I'd be doing this full time, I couldn't have never dreamt it. It's been such an amazing journey. So I feel very blessed.
Isn't that interesting when things come full circle like that? Was there a Absolutely. Particular animal when you're growing up that you connected with?
Well, I had a collie at the time. I was a Lassie enthusiast, still am. And and what was interesting is later when we did the book tour, years later, we got to, I didn't know that one of the book stops was going to be a morning TV show in Washington, D.C. And as we're walking through the door, my publicist turned to me and she goes, oh, by the way, Lassie's going to be on the show with you. I was like, totally.
Oh, you're kidding.
I was kidding. Like, oh, my God, Lassie. You know, so Robert Weatherwax walks in with Lassie and they came through the newsroom and that place stood still. Everybody stopped what they were doing and watched Lassie go by. And so then they sat Lassie next to me and I'm like trying to stay, you know, cool, calm and collected as they're playing the music and I'm getting teary-eyed and Lassie kept looking at me and he wasn't paying attention to Robert at the moment and he was talking to me. So finally he jumped down and then like put his paw on my lap. Oh my God, it gets me emotional thinking about it. And Robert was off camera. So the host said, what is he saying to you? And I said, he really doesn't like the trick of bowing and getting too low. It hurts his back. And Robert's like, well, yeah, he just got adjusted a couple of days ago. So that was pretty wild.
That is so awesome. That really
is. And afterwards, Robert came over to me and goes, now I know. He said, you're really doing what you're doing because that's the first time he never took his eyes off of him. And instead, he came and gave me attention. So that was pretty, that was another full circle moment. That was cool.
Well, I always wanted to talk to Mr. Ed, of course, because you know I'm a horse person.
I would have loved to.
I must have watched every single show out there. And you know, when you communicate with animals, I know a lot of people have said, you know, if you really listen to them, you can hear them. But different animals, like of different species, do they communicate in different ways? Like, are some more audio, some more visual? What do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. It really runs the gamut. I think a lot of it depends on what people can tap into. Most people are, you know, visual. Other people are the audio. I find that it's more of how many lifetimes an animal has had. So I could talk to a hamster for a half an hour and have an in-depth conversation and then turn to a horse, and the horse is like, whatever, you know.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because I know there are some cultures out there that think, you know, and that was one of the questions about reincarnation too, lifetimes. Mm-hmm. That do you believe that they reincarnate into their own species? I know I'm jumping ahead with the question, but since you brought it up,
no,
or do you think they just
all over the place
reincarnated into, or they're cross species with humans? What do you think?
Well, I've had some animals say, tell her I was a child of hers, a human child, another lifetime, and she didn't want to have kids, so I came back as a dog, a cat, and I'm her first baby, and now she can have her human kids. I had one of those yesterday. And usually it's very synchronistic, not unlike how people meet the people in their lives, that they meet the animals in their lives. And I've had a lot of animals say, I was a horse before, and I used to be a cart horse, and now I'm doing this now. Or I've had some horses say to me, I've never been a horse before, lady. I came without the manual. And those are the ones that
how
have to
interesting.
Have help and be taught.
I bet
you
those
know,
are
they
the
forget.
Big goofballs, too.
Yeah. So it and I've talked to dolphins out in the wild, and also some in captivity and stuff when I've had to, and some of them are either lower evolved or higher evolved. So it really runs the gamut. And a lot of animals say to me, tell her I've been with her before this lifetime, like they crossed over prematurely or had an illness that took them out before they were supposed to, and they've turned around and come back to be with them again. And one of the ones I remember really distinctly is a gal had a Siberian husky, and this one actually lived to be 12, so that was a decent lifetime. And I kept saying to her, it really feels like this one's going to come back. And so she found a breeder. We kind of figured out the right puppy. And I was on the phone with her probably 6 weeks after this puppy, who was 8 weeks now, was in her house. And she goes, uh-oh, and she dropped the phone. So I'm thinking, oh, the puppy got into the garbage or something very mundane. She ran back, and she goes, you will not believe what happened. She said, the reason I dropped the phone is he went out to the backyard. Huskies are not diggers, okay? But he dug in a certain portion of the lawn and pulled out a toy that the other body had buried and knew
how
exactly
wild is
where
that?
It was. And brought the toy back into her. And she said, that's why I dropped the phone, because she said, I knew that he had buried it there, but this puppy didn't know where it was, but it did know. It remembered from the other time. So that was kind of wild. So.
Well, it completely makes sense. I mean, who are we to be, you know, think we're so special? If we live other many lifetimes, so do they.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that makes sense to me. What do you think, you guys?
Yeah. It makes sense to me very much.
I've had dogs where I knew that it was my first dog before. It just felt, or yeah. When they get in trouble, you know, my first dog's name was Boomer. And when I'd had my other dog,
how
I just
original.
Felt like, oh, Boomer, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it totally, totally makes sense. I've definitely felt that before.
Yeah, especially with the dolphins you were talking about, because I live down, I was talking about this in chat, I live down at the beach.
Yeah, we're curious about the dolphins. Definitely.
And I'm really, I'm so connected. And they're always my humans in the water. And they're, because I walk there. It's, they're just, and also, I've never been swimming with dolphins other than in their own, like Catalina, because I'm in California. When I was a kid, I just always assumed that that's what they did with people. I didn't know about
right.
the cat later on now, I know. But I just think they're magnificent. Thank you.
They're so amazing. So amazing. So
healing.
I mean,
healing.
There are some animals that are on display at places like, you know, zoos and SeaWorld and stuff, and they kind of know that people are there to be educated. But that's changed a lot now with this whole incident that happened with Tilikum and everything. I had a lot of clients contacted me about the killer whale and stuff, and I never got that he's a bad actor, but he's pretty ticked off about being incarcerated.
Well,
that's what it feels like.
You know, and then those poor elephants in those circuses that go berserk.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That, I mean, they're, what else can they do? They're like the guy on the freeway that has road rage, you know? I mean, they finally just snap. So do you mm-hmm. think any one species that you've talked to is more like chatty or wants to communicate more, like dogs, cats, horses? What's been your experience?
I guess I find the horses a little bit more chatty simply because a lot of them have had multiple situations. They've gone from person to person. It's very rare. It's a blessing, but it's very rare to talk to somebody or talk to a horse that the owner has had for 10, 15, or all of its life. Just by virtue of the fact of how big they are, they have a lot of turnover.
So and a long life, too.
Yes, exactly. And they have a lot of comments about, well, in this situation I did this, and I have this problem because of this last situation. So I find them a little bit more in-depth. But I had a conversation with a hamster once for about a half an hour, which I didn't think it was going to be that long. But that
Who would think a hamster had a brain? No.
Well, they do have a very good brain. But, you know, and this one was an old soul, and this was this gal's only pet. And so the first thing he showed me was riding around in a tissue box. That's what he called his car seat, and that's what his mom called it, so he could stay safe in the car. He was the first animal I ever took 2 years ago that actually got smuggled into a nursing home. He'd go visit his grandma, and he'd crawl around on her bed, and all the nurses would say hi to him, and they knew he was there, and she'd smuggle him in. She also took him to the movies, and he had Cracker Jacks with her. I mean, this hamster had more of a life than most people had. It was great.
You know, then they're like a rodent, too. And my daughter had a rat, you know, when she was a kid, and this thing was like a little human. He ate everything that we ate. We would make him a little plate, and he'd have everything on it that we did, and he would sit on her shoulder and wrap his tail around her neck when they did homework together. It was amazing.
Yeah, they're very smart. They're very smart animals, too. So it really depends on our culture and what we're used to and what we were. But I've had times where when I had my horse at home, when I had Chocolate at home, I'd go into his barn, and one day I kept hearing, "Be careful, I'm real close to your hand," and I looked down, and there was a black widow spider there. And she let me know that she was there. And so because of that, I gently scooped her up and put her someplace safe. I didn't kill her. And so, or another time I went up to the barn when I had him in another place and didn't have a flashlight, really paying attention to where my feet were. And I heard this, "Be careful, look down." And there was a black rat snake there. So if they know you're open, they'll let you know so that you feel safe and you don't have to worry. And so it's just another, like all the other people on the panel, it's just another way of communicating and being open. Once they know you're open, they'll broadcast it to you. So.
Well, Diva has just jumped into my lap, and she's she's part of this now.
Well, she said that she's definitely your personal secretary, and
she is. She's a little busybody. That's for sure. Yeah. She rules the household.
I'm not a busybody. I'm an office plant manager. I'm supposed to be in everybody's business. So, and she really wants a rhinestone collar if you haven't gotten her one. And she said she would call that her power collar.
You know what? She's an Aries, born on April 1st. And
there you go.
She was born in the Catarine. She was the first one out, and her meow was so loud. I called her Diva for an opera diva.
Right.
And she does like comfort, that's for sure.
And
so when people, those of us that we're all animal lovers, you know, I'm sure everybody listening, everybody on, I think everybody on the panel tonight, on the co-host tonight, and even our producer, we all have cats. So we're all animal lovers. Now, what kind of signs would we look for, do you think, that they want to communicate? Does it come off mostly like body language? I know they show us a lot through body language.
Well, they do, but I actually do 2 days a week where I do phone calls, like I'm sure a lot of other people on the panel do, where people call. I had a gal that called me from Croatia, and I talked to her horse long distance. So most of it is just, it comes to me in pictures, emotions, physical sensations. I kind of describe it to people like I step into them and become them and see life on their level. And that's different than, say, people that have really gone to school and said, okay, all dogs act this way, all horses act that way. So when you get into them and you have an animal that expresses to you like, I'm nearsighted, that's why I can't see my owner, or I'm farsighted, and that's why when you come up to me, I step back, or I need to be adjusted because my neck is bothering me. So it's really getting into them. But half of the time, I don't see them in person. I'd love to, but I don't. And so to be able to contact people in either Korea or Japan or, you know, across the United States or even, you know, locally, it doesn't matter. So, yes, it's some body language, but I would say to people paying attention is if they're staring at you, half the time they're reading your thoughts. Most of the time they don't want anything. But because we're thinking of stuff all the time, your mind is like the best CNN scroll. So that's the concept. Like, why does my animal stare at me? And I'll say, well, when they're the most interested, what are you thinking about? Going away on vacation or taking the animal for a walk, or you're worried about something? So then vocalize it, because the animals that are connected on that level, they want to interact with you for that reason.
They do, and they'll sit there and they'll stare at you. They'll just really stare at you.
Yeah. So you
and
can just say, I don't know.
Well, you know,
about
you mentioned that you do a lot of your work on the phone, and I would like to clarify, because a lot of people out there that, you know, haven't experienced many readings, they think, well, how can you possibly connect through the phone? Well, you know, if you're sensitive and you're psychic, we can pick up on the energies, you know, right through the phone. We can see what's going on, and don't you agree? Especially and even with animals, it's the same thing. As
right.
reading people,
I kind of, yeah,
correct?
I kind of explain to people, like, we know airplanes can talk to each other, but we can't dial in our car radio. So when I'm talking to the owner on the phone, I've actually put the call out to the animal like a GPS, and I have maps, and I kind of focus my attention there. When I first started doing this, I made sure I had a photograph to really make sure. And the only time that I need a photograph now is like when Hurricane Katrina came through and people found animals, I have to locate them by calling out their name. They didn't know what their name was, so they sent me pictures. Or I had a gal that just found a dog on the freeway, so I had her send me a photograph so I knew I was talking to that animal, because I didn't have a name to call it in. So, but that's kind of how I do it. So, yeah.
That must have been an amazing experience during Hurricane Katrina. Don't you agree, everybody?
Yeah, I think it's just so overwhelming. So.
Yes. There was a lot of rodents out after. No, not Katrina. I'm thinking about El Nino. Never mind. I'm back at years.
Hurricane Katrina. You know, all those stranded dogs and cats.
That's right.
And horses. There was just everything.
Horses, yes. That's true.
Unbelievable. So.
Well, we have a crisis with horses here in California now, as you know. People are just leaving them on the sides of the road.
Yeah, and just letting them loose. I mean, I was just in Huntington Beach at the Equestrian Center doing a whole day, and five of the animals I met were just let loose, you know, wandering around different neighborhoods. And one horse just showed up at some gal's back gate like, hey, can you take me in? It's like, oh, my God, it's so heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking, and the price of hay is just, I mean, you'd think it was caviar, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you think it's surprising, though, that we still haven't integrated the fact that we're all part of one system, and while we inflict pain and cruelty upon animals, we do so upon the whole system, us included. We still, as a, we still don't seem to have realized as a race that everything is truly interconnected. And if we abuse an animal or leave an animal stranded, we're abusing ourselves and everything. And the fascinating thing is that animals understand. They're more in tune than we are. They just play their role.
Well,
they're present when they're called to be present, but we just don't seem to get it.
Exactly. And some people, well, the majority of people out there, you know, just the person that's living in the mundane, that's not real aware, they actually think that animals don't have emotions, that they don't have anything that defines them emotionally like that.
Yeah, stupid horse or stupid
cow. Oh, it's just a horse.
I mean, it's just, God. I hear people talk like that. It just breaks my heart.
Yep. You can look in their eyes and you know they feel things, like, just like we do, probably deeper. I know, shake them, wake them up.
I like how you had said earlier about the spider saying hello or whatever. We have a rule in my house. Nothing dies here, you know, so my wife or my kids are always calling me to come, you know, take the spider out. And I always, you know, carefully put it in a glass or whatever and then take it outside and set it free. And I always felt something from that, but I always make it a strict rule. So I'm glad you kind of said that. I think some people think, okay, horse, yeah, I can almost see that emotionally, but a spider? You know what I mean? So I of course, you don't know that, like Steve was saying, everything's interconnected, all the energy, but I was glad to hear you kind of confirm that for some of the people out there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
so Lydia, have you had much, I know that you've had a lot of, you talked briefly about some animals that, you know, in their past lives and stuff. Have you had many experiences with spirit animals, like ghosts of animals, and like finding out what they want and why they're appearing and stuff like that?
Okay, well, that's a good question. There is a gal on my website, Teresa Wagner, who does contact animals that have crossed, and that's for closure for a lot of people that need that, or if someone feels like their animal's going to recycle. But so animals do see good and bad energy. One of the very first calls I went on years ago, house call, was a Rottweiler who was sitting throwing a ball to an empty couch and would do it obsessively. And when I went to the house, he kept looking at me like, well, my dad's sitting right there. And the gal, actually, she was a psychic, and she was. She said to me, oh, she said, that's my fault. I've been holding my husband's spirit here. I guess I better let that go. And she didn't realize that the dog was just getting obsessed about it because he could see his dad. So animals do see positive and negative energies. And Christmas Eve is the night of the visitation. That's what I've been told. And so that's a night when animals that have crossed and people that have crossed come to be with us, because it's the most powerful night of love, whether you have a strong spiritual background or not. They're just drawn to that energy. So the last couple of weeks, I've had many animals say, oh, don't worry, so-and-so will be back in a couple of weeks. We'll say hi to them. And when they do see that person or animal that's crossed, they see them when they were well, complete, or whole, but it's like a hologram. So they don't see them at their worst, which is great. So
and it looks like they smell them. Like my husband and I have a house that's it's a very old house. It's a Victorian house, and there's spirits, full of spirits. And sometimes I've seen my dog went upstairs one time, and he came down. He was terrified. His eyes were as big as can be, and I didn't even know what it was. And he had gone up there and actually, like, you know, torn the bed apart.
Right, right.
He got scared.
There's negative energies that come through. So, yeah, that happens. I mean, thankfully, it doesn't happen all the time. So that's always a blessing when you can be on top of it. But they see that and don't have a problem with it. And they know that they go on to something better, whatever we choose to call it. But I wasn't sure about that when I first started doing this work. But, you know, so many animals say, well, tell my mom it's going to be – they're more worried about leaving the human behind or who's going to take care of them. They know that once their body is done, they want to step out of it. And they all have different levels of what their dignity is. One dog would accept – say, wearing a diaper for a little while because maybe dad just can't get to that place yet to let him go. And another animal I spoke to, he's having trouble getting up, and he said, you know what, I'd rather go now than be collapsed and have my owners being freaking out trying to get me somewhere to help me cross. So their levels of what they will deal with is very different. It's very individual, like people.
That's amazing. And, you know, I bet it's very rewarding working with animals, because there are certain things like vices and stuff that you don't deal with in dealing with them. I imagine it's a lot of honesty and a lot of real spiritual energy.
Yeah, very much so. Sometimes what people think is a needy animal is instead an animal that wants to care for somebody. Or I had a gal yesterday, and I kept saying to her, you need to really get yourself checked out because you feel off balance. And then she finally said to me, well, I think I'm diabetic, and you're just telling me I need to really go and have my doctor check it out. And the cat was saying, there's something wrong with her. You know, and he kept cutting in front of her because she was feeling off balance. So then when owners realized, well, wow, this animal's really trying to take care of me on a level that I hadn't planned for, not unlike now all the service dogs that you see, that people that have panic attacks or they're having, you know, diabetic issues or seizures and stuff like that, they're being more recognized to be utilized, which is great.
That is just a miracle. And even now they're using miniature horses because they live longer.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And that's to me, because people think, you know, a lot of times they think, ah, a horse is such a dumb animal, but they have a different special type of sensitivity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, most animals open up your pituitary gland, but I think horses do it the best. And that's our psychic awareness. That's our nurturing center. When I lecture as a clinician, I'll be doing that at the Equine Affair coming up, or the Equine Expo in February. I'll say to people, I can always tell when a horse owner's had a good day with their horse. They're in the supermarket with hay in their hair, kind of glazed over, going, got to get carrots for the horse. He was really good today.
So what are your thoughts? I'm going to kind of throw kind of like an esoteric kind of like question out there. Since, you know, we are among, you know, like-minded people, what are your thoughts in regard to psychic animals and magical familiars, people who in their work, you know, as practitioners, even psychics or shamans or any, you know, to use magical companions in their work? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's the good side and the dark side, and I would say most people that you talk to are on the good side. And yes, I mean, we all have animals that are caregivers, and I have one gal that she does use an animal in her work, and I don't see any reason why there would be a problem with it. Any of the Native Americans, when the Indian medicine women or men would go out or scouts would go out, they would go out with a wolf as a companion. Other people use their horses as companions. And so, you know, so I think a modern day example would be Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. You know, I mean, I always felt like he was a crocodile in one life, and he understood them so well that he knew how to deal with them. And he really put the animal planet on the map with his show.
And he absolutely did. He absolutely did. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, like there's been books written and stuff about how animals travel with people in the dream state and you know, they watch over them, they find out information for them and stuff. And I myself have had an experience with a cat that way. And I know cats are very popular for that type of thing. Do you think the cats are more psychic than some of the other animals?
Well, I think people find that interesting simply because cats have to decide that they want to be with you. There's a great magnet on my fridge that says dogs, you know, will be with anybody, but cats have staff and they'll get back to you. You
know, I so, like that.
And when I worked at the cat practice, you know, it really put in focus for me about how they are truly like a wild animal still. I mean, we've done a lot to dogs to change them through breeding, and that's all fine and good, but you really haven't changed cats, and their physiology is different. And so when they get excited or even agitated, they can explode. It's like having a wild animal. So you have to deal with them differently. But when they want to be with you, that's an amazing gift. So I wouldn't say they're more psychic than other animals, but I think when they want to link up with you, that's even a better thing because most dogs want to be with their pack leader. They're happy to be there, but that doesn't mean that they're as highly evolved, say. But I've met different gamuts of that. I, you know, had a very long conversation with Caesar a couple of times. Caesar Milan, I know him, and one of the dogs that he's, you know, with his caregiver was Daddy, and that was a very good mentor and really kind of helped put him on the map with that dog. And so the first time I met him, Daddy came up to me and gave me a kiss, and he looked at me and he goes, "You're totally in my pack." There was not even a doubt in his mind, and I thought that was really great. So, you know, whether it's a dog or a cat or a dolphin or you know, I even met Gunther Gable Williams years ago. And again, I'm not a big fan of the circus. I didn't know when I was a kid, but I got to meet him and he invited me back and I sat in his tour bus and he was holding like little tiger cubs. And he said, "You know what? On the days off, I take care of these cats." And he was such an advocate for caring and making sure that as much as those cats were not in a natural environment, he wanted people to see the relationship that he did have with them. So, again, there were a lot of trendsetters that really kind of brought that to the forefront, let people see that you can have a deeper relationship. It's possible, and it's all about the connection on a lot of levels.
I think it's a lot about the connection. Exactly. That's it in a nutshell. What do you think about that? Who are those entertainers in Las Vegas? Remember that one got mauled by his tiger? Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they did an incredible, right after it happened, I had a bunch of people call me. I never felt like that cat attacked him on purpose. And then Maria Shriver did a really great interview where she really took it step by step and interviewed, I think it was Roy who got hurt. And he kept
saying,
"Yes,
it was Roy.
It wasn't the cat's fault. He had a blood pressure issue. He started to pass out, and that cat instinctually grabbed him, not the best place, by the neck, and drug him off stage. And once he did, the cat ran in his cage and went, 'Oh, my God, I did something wrong.' That cat is still alive today, and it's on their compound. And that was the first thing that he kept saying to Siegfried, 'Don't kill the cat.'"
He knew. He raised it from a baby. They used to sleep on the bed with them, those babies.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I thought, and even the Superman, the gentleman who had the problem with the horse and stuff, I mean, it's just when he fell off his horse and he was a paraplegic and everything, he kept saying to everybody, "Don't destroy the horse" and stuff. He knew that it was an accident. Those things happen. You're going to ride an animal, it's going to have problems. So Christopher Reeves was a really amazing, you know, leader in that manner. You know, the fact that he was disabled the rest of his life,
okay,
but he cared about that horse.
Well, we're going to have to go to a short break right now, my dear, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back.
Great.
All right, Lydia. Now let's talk about your book, Conversations with Animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know everybody always asks you what your inspiration, you kind of covered that, you know, mm-hmm. what your inspiration was to write this book. But could you kind of like clarify, did somebody push you into it, or was there a particular animal that inspired
story.
That you just actually,
actually
had to
story.
Write this book because of this?
Yeah, no, you know what? I didn't write it. Actually, Bonnie Weintraub was the one who wrote it for me. Thank God that she did, because I didn't have the time to do it. And I met her at a horse ranch, and she brought me a beautiful black standard poodle who, you know, came up to me, and the first thing he said to me was, my foot is bothering me, and she kind of looked at me, and she was rolling her eyes, and then she said, you know, I'm a New York skeptic, and you're really not impressing me right now. And I said, oh, okay.
Isn't it funny how New Yorkers always do that kind of stuff?
I know. Well, I are one, so I'm okay with it. So then the next thing he gave me, though, the next thing I felt myself going underwater, and I looked at her and I said, he's worried about drowning. And she goes, now you're on the right track. Keep going. And what had happened was she had let him out in the backyard. They had an in-ground pool. He had pool safety. She looked out one day, and he fell into the pool, and he was at the bottom of the pool drowning. And
oh,
she had
no.
to jump in, pulled him out. And he had started having all kinds of seizures, and she wanted to know why this 3-year-old dog did that. What happened? And as I started to take him back in his memory, 2 days before that, he kept saying to me that he was feeling a little lightheaded and he didn't know what had happened. And so he basically went to the pool and had a seizure and fell in, and that's how he drowned. And thankfully he had survived. So long story short, I kind of followed along with her, and she said, my God, she said, why don't you have a book? I'm like, I can't type very well. I have curved pinkies, and I'd love to do it. And so she was the one who put the book together. If it wasn't for her, it would have never got done.
So she was your co-author, in other words.
Yes.
So
yes.
You
yes.
worked
and
together on it.
I had never written a book before either.
What now?
So she had never written a book before. She just decided she was going to take on the task to do it and dedicated a year to doing it. So God bless her, and it would have never gotten done. So.
Oh, but you know what? It needed to get done. It was supposed to get done. So
can
you tell the audience, like, can you pick a couple of your favorite conversations in the book that you had with certain animals?
Okay, well, there's a story in the book about an animal named Kira, and at the time I was back east taking care of my mom. She was going through cancer, and I was only taking very urgent calls, and a client called me and said, you know, my animal's very sick, and normally I would say, what is breed is it, where is it, and she just said, his name is Kira, and she was like sobbing on the phone. So I managed to click into it very quickly. The animal's back here in Los Angeles, and I said, oh, your dog is licking the kitchen floor. Why is it doing that? And she said, okay, you're on the right track, but I didn't tell you, and I couldn't tell you yet because I was still crying, that you're talking to an orange iguana. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, I don't know a lot about their medicine. She said, no, you're on to something. Keep going. And so that's what he started showing me, is that he would go into the kitchen and lick the floor, and that's how iguanas taste and sense their environment. But what he was showing me is he was doing it after their housekeeper was dutifully going in there and mopping the floor with Pine Sol, and it was basically killing him.
Oh,
and
no.
So she said, I've gone to the vet. We've done all kinds of lab work. His liver values are down, which made sense because the liver deals with chemical detoxifying. And he was the one who flashed to me. I said to him, I don't know about your kind. What do you need to feel better? And he showed me a sweet potato. And I was like, oh, okay.
That is amazing.
Said, all right. She said, all right, I'll go ask my vet. And she called me 2 days later, and she said, my vet is going into holistic medicine. And she said it made sense to her. And so she started giving him sweet potatoes and stopped doing the Pine Sol on the floor and gave him vitamin C. And he recovered from that. And then I started taking him to the American Family Pet Expo when it was out in Pomona, and people got to meet him. And he came to all my classes, and he was such a wise and incredible being.
Was he huge? Was he real big?
Yeah, he was like 9 foot long. He was huge.
Oh, wow.
And she had gotten him when he was... She had gotten him when iguanas were popular as a little baby, picked him out of a hole. You know, well, she said, I didn't really pick him out. He picked me. She said, I reached in to grab one. The other one scattered, and he sat on the little, you know, container and said, come get me. And he crawled up on her shoulder, and she brought him home. And she had had him when he was really tiny. So he had grown up with six cats. He didn't even know he was an iguana for a while. And he would use the cat box and everything. And he was so amazing. When we would take him to the Pet Expo, people would come up to him and thought that he was stuffed because he would stand and hang up on this tree and a little platform we had for him. And then he would turn his head and they'd go, oh, my God, the thing is real. And people that were freaked out by reptiles were so drawn in by him. He was such an amazing being. So he's one of my favorite stories to talk about.
Well, you kind of mentioned something about, you know, briefly about like how he picked her. And that was going to be one of my other questions. You know, a lot of times we say we want this animal, we want to bring this animal in, and people go looking for them. But
right.
Do you feel, I mean, I know that I feel, I mean, I had an experience with my greyhound where I got this voice in my head that said, go to Operation Greyhound. And I went on there like a robot, and there he was, and he called me. Do you believe that they choose us that way?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And especially with the Internet now, people are finding animals like on Pet Finders, or I do a lot of pre-purchase exams for horses, and they'll send me photographs of animals in other states that they don't even get to see. And then on my decision and suggestions, they go and purchase them, and the animal goes, where have you been? Come get me. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, I totally believe that. Because... And they call out to you, because all the animals
Absolutely.
That I've had have come to me that way.
That's all that synchronicity of they'll put themselves in your path, whether you know it or not. You're not going to miss them. So absolutely, that happens a lot. Absolutely.
Now, in your book, you talked about zoo animals and some of the messages that they had given you. I know that's a touchy subject because zoos, you know, can be viewed, you know, as incredibly cruel, and they can also be viewed as, you know, preserving the species. I mean...
Right. Right. Like people like Jack Hanna and that, I think they're doing an amazing job. And when I lived in San Diego, I wasn't too far from the Wild Animal Park. And so they're trying to recreate as best as possible a natural environment. So there are many places where those animals feel supported and loved, and they like being educational. I think the toughest ones now still are like the dolphins and the killer whales because they're so highly evolved. And because they can't echolocate anymore in a tank, they feel like they're in prison, whereas most of the other animals, like a polar bear, they're like, okay, well, it's not great, but it's close, and at least they are educating people. But when you deal with cetaceans, that's really tough. They're not happy.
I can imagine that. Now, I have noticed myself, you know, just going to the wild animal park. Now, Maureen, have you ever been to the wild animal park?
No, I'm real particular. No, I haven't. I have no desire, but the thing that I keep going back on is those dolphins, because I live in San Diego, SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. And so, I know I might be off subject, but the fact of it is, I keep thinking about people that are doing that for their kids and how lovely to get well-fed dolphins. We treat them well. We're wonderful people. The animal park, I don't know what I think about that, but it's the same thing at the dolphins. You know, if we were asked to take your kid up to an alien place into our land, we'll feed them, they'll entertain us, but they'll be treated right. Well, I just think it's kind of awful. So I don't know. I don't know if you follow what I just said, but...
No, I agree with you.
The wild animal park is a little bit different than the zoo. In the wild animal park, I've noticed in some of the enclosures, the animals seem a lot happier.
Yeah.
But maybe they'd be happier where they belong. I mean, I know.
I totally agree. I think some of them, though, wouldn't even evolve if we didn't have care for them. And even Jack Hanna has said that in some of those places. And in the Cincinnati Zoo, they have an incredible cat area, which is huge. It's like a jungle. It's not cage-like at all. So I think if we can recreate it, and some of those animals wouldn't be alive today if we didn't do it. So it's a challenge, and I think because of people like him and Joan Embry and other people that are, you know, pioneers in doing that, they're doing the best they can to save the animals that are out there. But I totally agree with you about, you know, places that, you know, house the cetaceans, the dolphins and the whales and stuff. They don't belong there. They're done with educating people. That's what Keiko did really well. I mean, even after they released him and he was up in Iceland, he was following the tour boats because his pod wouldn't allow him back. He was that much of an outcast. He had been too humanized by people, and so he basically died of a broken heart, washed up on a beach. But I don't think his life was in vain, because it was the first time that kids were actually being enlightened about how that animal should have been rescued. And so they went through the process of that. So I truly don't feel like his life was in vain.
Absolutely. I like that, how you bring that point, because it does, it really gets to me and stuff. So thank you for that. That was a very nice way of putting it. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Also in your book, Lydia, you said that Beatrice Leidekner, you know, as your mentor, she gave you 5 guidelines for successful mm-hmm. communication with animals. Are you at liberty to reveal them to us?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. The first one is perspective. Well, I mean, it's what I teach classes all the time, and there's a how-to chapter in the book. The first one is perspective. Animals have a different perspective on life by virtue of their species. That makes sense, whether they're dog, cat, or whatever, but also by how small or big they are. So one of the examples I use for that is I have a lot of people that have small animals, you know, like dachshunds or Pomeranians or something, and they want to know why they won't go out and use the dog door by themselves. And I'm like, first, number one, anything that of their size, usually things are bigger than them, like an opossum or a cat. And now, mm-hmm. with so many animals looking for food, I had one gal that went out with her chihuahua to watch him, and in the broad daylight, some owl came down and grabbed her dog. Thank God he had a sweater on, and started to pick him up and take off with him. And she had the forethought to grab a broom and swing, and he let it go. And the only reason the dog survived is she managed to catch it, and it had a huge enough sweater on it that the talons didn't go in. So when you look at life from their perspective, number one, that's going to be very different by how they judge their environment. The second thing is they always are in the positive terms. So the example I use for that is it's not Murphy's Law that you say, don't jump on the couch, and the dog does it and wags his tail and goes, here I am. You visualize to them jumping on the couch. That's what they picked up on, not what you said. You said the opposite, don't jump on the couch, but you flash that to them, and then they picked up on your pictures. So you have to tell them what to do as opposed to what not to do. So you reframe things and say, stay on the floor. Be gentle, be soft, and no just means stop what you're doing. So if you say no, be quiet, no, be gentle. But most people have been taught no bark, no bite by a lot of dog trainers. And again, I had this conversation with Caesar, because then you were giving him the picture of stop and then bark at somebody. Instead, you want to say no, be quiet. And then
that makes a lot of sense. And you know, the closer your animals are to you, the closer, the more you can communicate with them. They just become such an integral part of your life that you practically communicate psychically with them. Have you noticed that? I'm sure you have.
Absolutely. Then the other thing is they don't understand time. We've kind of created the world by calendar and clock, and they live in the moment. That's probably their greatest gift, but for some people, their greatest challenge is that they're in the moment. And so that's why you have to repeat a lot of things to them, because they're like, what? Oh, I was sitting right here. You know, why do I
you know
have
what?
To remind
I think that they can things. Give us a lot of that is a lesson, a valuable lesson to a lot of people, a lot of humans,
about being
a lot
present.
Of human beings is to live in the moment. I mean, think about how much we miss if we don't.
Absolutely. So most animals go on quality time, but there are some that 24/7 are not enough. And when you leave your animal, whether you go out to get the mail or come back, or you're gone for 5 hours, what do most dogs do? They're like, oh, you're back. And you're like, dude, I just went out to get the mail and come back. And the dog goes, no, you broke the timeline. So the best advice you can do is to say to them, I'll be back soon. And then you've given them that feeling of soon, and then walk out without feeling guilty, because those emotions animals don't understand. They kind of sit there and go, now why is she freaking out? I'm in my house. I know she's coming back, but she's overdramatic about it. You know, so when you
that
leave,
makes sense.
Leave
they say to do that with your kids, the young kids too. When they
absolutely. And so when you come back, you want to be mellow. But most people are like, "Oh, did you miss me?" And the dog is like all over the place. So dogs that have separation anxiety, it's created unfortunately by the owners because of all the drama. You want to. Come
I can
and go
believe and that. I can believe that.
Yeah.
So Lydia, conversations with animals. You know, it's. I'm sure this is going to take the reader on a fascinating journey. How can your listeners and the ones that are listening today and that are viewing this show on the internet, how can they find your book?
They can go to my website, which is lydiahibby.com, or they can get it off of Amazon. And it's been out there for a while. I had a couple of people ask me just before I got online if, you know, if they send them to me, I'm happy to sign them and send them back if they want them autographed. And then all the classes are listed up there, and all my dates for spring will be up there in a couple of weeks about where I'm traveling to. And they can get on the mailing list.
Okay, we're so thankful and delighted that you joined us tonight. This has just been great to talk to you, and it's opened my eyes, even though, you know, a lot of us think we know all this stuff. It's opened my eyes to, you know, amazing new worlds. I want to thank you again, and I want you to have
a great evening. All right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Great guest.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, you can find out more about Lydia Hippie and her work on LydiaHippie.com. And her contact information is on our guest page at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com as well. We're going to take a few moments here to make some announcements.
Your announcements.
Are we waiting for an announcement? I was waiting for the big announcement.
Oh, that's what it says right
here. We make an announcer sound. A voice.
I'm just going to
Okay.
Toast to Bobby.
I don't know if it was announcements from the other side. Or.
Yes, they are. They're from the animals.
Wow.
Actually, it just flew out of my brain here. I want everybody to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics.
We can read your hair, too.
Oh, really?
Our on-hair reading.
On hair. And it's some nice hair, too, isn't it?
I need new hair.
We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you're unable to catch our last week's show with Nina Mead, Transcendental Meditation, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. I want everybody to please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and families. You know, it's our objective to connect with as many of you as possible. So please share this with others. I mean, I know you'll enjoy our awesome shows. And visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. It's here that you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. And that's no joke. We have to go through rigorous testing here. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And, you know, that really is something that meant a lot to me when I joined, because I actually, and I don't want to be a snob, I get a little annoyed when I find out that there are psychics reading with such a, you know, such a vast variety and scope of what we have to do, and they've only been doing it 2 years, and I think that they need a little bit more experience. Don't you agree, guys?
I think we're all very experienced, but yes, I agree with the site that we are all working on together with Doug, and it's a direct reflection on Doug, and I do say that with all my heart and soul, and not my punching put up your dukes either, Bobby. But the thing No, you're right. It's very much so. I've been around for a while. Very much.
All of the co-hosts on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. If you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. You're going to find something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Okay, now we're going to kind of go to everybody and their questions. Steve, you're first. Are you there?
I am here. Ready and waiting.
That's Bobby's voice.
Your talking point was, do you feel that animals communicate with us? I mean, has it been your experience in your mediumship and the way that you hear things through spirit? How does it come through with you? I'm curious about that.
Well, actually, I'm glad you put the question that way, because I wasn't going to make the point about animals in the spirit world. I was thinking more of the role that animals play here in our physical world. So I'll mention both, but thank you for prompting me on that. Animals come through very strongly from the spirit world, and they come through so purely with such love for the people they want to communicate with. They love us unconditionally. You know, they don't judge. They're just present. And so I anticipate seeing my animals when I pass to the spirit world, and I know for sure that they come through in readings for clients. I've become really fascinated with the role that animals play in our lives, because they don't question their roles. They're not restricted by the cogitation that keeps us all so busy and keeps us so distanced from our intuitive abilities and our connection with spirit or the universe. They just show up, and they show up synchronistically. It blows my mind. Just as this cat, the black cat, showed up for me today. I was saying in the chat room that I was driving from my office back to the house, and there was a black cat that had been hit by a car, and it was dead in the road, and I can't bear to see them just left there. So I always take them home and bury them. But the cat is a very important sign for me. A black cat is a sign of protection for me, so it was confirmation from spirit that I'm well protected. And they're also the gatekeepers. They're considered gatekeepers to the spirit world. But we should pay attention to the presence of animals in our lives and the synchronicity and the meaning behind the appearance. So a cricket, for example, if we see a cricket, it means step forward, leap forward, take a quantum leap. And every animal, every insect has a meaning and a message for us. So absolutely, they're communicating with us all the time, just as the universe is.
Yeah, that's something we didn't talk about, because we had so much to talk about with Lydia, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the symbolism in regards to animals and how they show up in our lives, that is very fascinating. That comes through with readings too, almost kind of like a shamanism type thing. Now, Maureen, I know you were fascinated. You really wanted to talk about the dolphins. I know you did. So we've got to hear some of this. Inquiring minds want to hear your experiences.
You know, it's interesting because I did a show on dolphins. It's on the archives, everybody. It was really good, with a woman from Bali, and she's lovely. And she works with the man that played with Flipper, the kid. He was a kid at the time. That actor, he's become a great advocate of saving the dolphins up in Japan. But I actually, you know, it's interesting. I wasn't going to be talking about dolphins, but they popped up.
They want to be talked about.
They popped up, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't use, like I've said it many times, I don't use the word I believe in this or I believe in that. All I know is what I know, and so I'm open to everything. But I do know this: when I go to the beach, and like I said, I live here at the beach, I really feel, if I'm having whatever or pondering, or maybe I'm not even aware of it, the dolphins really feel, I almost like, and I'm not saying anybody has to believe this, it's like there's some in the pods, but they've been closer to the shore more than ever this year. And it's everybody that's, I haven't lived here as many years as some 30 years. And a lot of people have been saying they've been noticing they've been closer to the shore. And they've been spending more time around the surfers. Like they kind of hang out and you'll see them surfing around. It's really incredible. But
Have they ever touched you when you're out there? Like,
Well, no, actually, the thing is with me, SeaWorld, the thing, and I was talking about it, when I was growing up, our vacation, my father was a sailboat racer, yacht racer, but he was also a businessman, always gone, so he would have somebody take, you know, the Kettenberg 50 sailboat to Catalina. And so how I grew up with knowing dolphins, I'd never thought about swimming with them at the time when they had them at SeaWorld or whatever. I would jump in the water. The dolphins came to us. And that's how it worked. It was fantastic. So I grew up only knowing that's how we connected with dolphins until later when I found out the captive, you know, they're taking them to SeaWorld. So I got oblivious to it. I didn't understand that because all I've ever had with them was a connection with me in the water when I was a kid and also living down at the beach. I just look at them and I feel like I'm in my just being. And that's hard for me to relax. Bobby knows that. I'm pretty
well,
vanilla.
No, my attention.
No, my my attention span. But you know, recently on the beach, because I live here, I keep saying that. But I'm so grateful, and I'm really privileged. I'm really honored that I'm able to do that. But lately, it's been, what I wanted to say actually was about the birds.
Well, that comes later. I mean,
No, it integrated because the bird thing, real quick, I've been lately, and you know, my father, I'm not going to use passed on, he died. But prior to that, the birds, been walking. Remember I said about this in the chat room about the cat thing, the people in there. This bird will walk with me for like 2 miles when I'm walking along the beach doing my walk. There's this one bird and then another day and another bird. I'm not kidding you. It's like the one particular one will walk alongside me, like just wants to be with me. And I'll talk about later why, because my father was connected with some birds and stuff, whatever. But I just wanted to bring that out there. Birds, new thing for me. So there you have it. The end.
What about you, Bobby? Do you use animal communication when you do your work?
I do, yeah. They come through for me. You know, I don't – somebody can ask me about an animal on the other side, or even sometimes when I'm talking to their loved ones, there will be all of a sudden a dog or an animal. I had a horse come right into my face one time from my perspective of how I see it. And so, yeah, they often come through. But I think I take – or I have taken my communication with animals a bit for granted. In other words, it's been so natural that I don't place it into a speciality like Lydia does. You know what I mean? Like to say, oh, he's saying this to me and he's saying that to me. I even though, like, I would communicate, and I've had some friends who would have their dog into the vet, and I would, you know, try to help heal it as well because I'm also a Reiki master. And so mm-hmm. I would work on it and then try to find out what more, but didn't talk to the dog directly like, oh, she's telling me this. She's telling me, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. It's just more feelings for me, but I know that if I concentrated and listened in a different way, I would be fully capable of hearing it like Lydia does. I just don't, I guess, because I... You know what I mean? How that
we're
is. You know you can do it.
You know you can do it. It's not what you usually do. And
right, yeah. It's just not a specialty, although, yes, we can tune into that part of it as well. So.
All of us could as psychics. It's just what we've chosen is to work with the two-legged ones.
Right.
So, but and that was interesting you said about Reiki. You know, I have found, because I'm a Reiki master as well, that Reiki, they respond to Reiki. For those people who don't know what Reiki is, it's an energy healing. Animals respond better than humans, I think.
It's great to start to practice. When you're first practicing, I always recommend that you start on your pets because you know how Reiki is very reciprocal and both of you heal. So, well, your pet even is more conscious of that and just loving up on your pet. I mean, I have pets that live ridiculously long lives and it's so great to have that reciprocated, and that's a great place to start if you're starting Reiki or in the hand healing business. Yeah,
exactly. So, Steve, I want to know about some spirit communications that you've had, like when you're doing some of your mediumship. Have they come through like as part of the people that you're talking to, as communicating for them? What do you think?
Oh, there he is. Okay. Well,
there
I was going to have to answer for you.
Hello.
Bobby's doing a spirit walk in on.
If it's more than 5 seconds, Steve, you know, I'm there.
You know what? He needs to jump in on the
Reflecting on my answer.
Okay, we'll let you reflect, but not for long. We want to know now. Tell us about an experience.
Is your question whether people in spirit bring animals with them when they communicate? Or
that when you're in the experience of communicating with them, or in, do some of the animals come through their pets or something like that?
They do. Often somebody will communicate from spirit, and they'll often share that they are with a certain member of the family. They might give
a name, they might give
a description.
Yeah.
So, and just as they will share information about other people that they are in contact with in the spirit world, or that they will bring with them as they come through to communicate from spirit for the client, they will also do the same with animals. So, yes, absolutely.
Because when they're on the other side and you're contacting somebody on the other side, and a lot of times they'll be with one of their cherished, you know, pets that they were with. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As I said before, I see my animals regularly, my animals in spirit. I often spot them in the house. But I know that when I pass to spirit, they'll all be there waiting for me. And that's exactly what they do for all of us. They show up, they're present, and they love us unconditionally.
Now, Maureen, I know you wanted to, you had some experiences with birds, and your daughter, what's her name, Mariah?
Mariah, yes. I take pride in the way I named her that particular way of word. Mariah, as in mermaid. Okay. Yes.
Interesting spelling. Yes.
No one had it. And when I created it, but they call the wind Mariah, and all you guys out there, I want you to hear something. Clint Eastwood, we all love. But you know what? Clint Eastwood was in Paint Your Wagon. I'm sorry I had to say this. And he sang in the musical. So all you guys out there that will deny it, go look up Paint Your Wagon. And yes, and that was the song they call the wind Mariah. My dad used to sing it. So that's where I got that. So there you have it. So the birds. The birds. This is interesting because and my daughter just spoke to me about this, and I didn't. And I'm hoping maybe you guys can give me some insight as well. I'm looking for it because I don't know what to think my view is, but 3 weeks prior, she's very close to my father, and I know everybody knows her. My father died, but she was very close to my father, and like he was a father figure for her. And so 2 weeks before he died, she was driving for her birthday. They're going camping or something locally here in San Diego, like an hour drive. And she said she's driving with two other people. She's driving her side of, you know, her car. And she said this blackbird, she said it was one of those bigger blackbirds. It wasn't like from the beach. It hit her side of the window and boomed off. Now, I myself have never had that happen when I'm driving. Now, I've had it to where birds have come in to a home. You know, that happens to a lot of us sometimes. Everybody kind of knows that. Maybe some people haven't experienced it. But I know, you know, they come into a home, they hit, and whatever. But this was why she's driving. Now, the interesting part about this part is she didn't tell me about this for a while, but she thought, oh, God, she freaked out because it was right on her side of the window. Well, she scared her. So 2 weeks after my father died, this is a whole nother area now she lives in an area like La Jolla area. So you're getting now in a whole nother area, a whole nother time period, a whole nother street, a whole nother situation. She's driving along by herself. And that's when she then told me about the story prior to the previous one I just said. So she goes, I wouldn't bring this up, but this happened to me weeks ago. And now I'm saying, what up with that? And this blackbird again is looking at and driving along 40 miles with her, like looking at her.
Amazing.
Like, it is amazing. It was like, it's, you know, things are in slow motion, so it wasn't like staring at her, but it was like she looked, she goes, what the heck is this bird doing? And it's kind of traveling like alongside her. Now, granted, my father has now died. So the first time he was alive, the first time she had the episode, but he's this bird for maybe, you know, it seems like forever, but it's probably 15 seconds, you know, alongside of her while she's driving 40 miles an hour. And then suddenly she said, the next thing she knows, this bird, and she's thinking it's the same one, you know, and I'm thinking in my head while she's telling me this, the bird must have gone up in there. And she goes, all of a sudden this bird, and she just went pow on the window, on her driver's window again. And she said, and it exploded exploded. Now, granted, it wasn't a lot of people, you know, when the other bird hit, it just hit, fell down, died. But this time she goes, and she saw feathers and stuff, she started screaming, but there was no blood of any sort. Now, I don't know what to think of this. I was saying, well, I thought it was a good thing. I don't know what you guys, if you can help me with this. I think it's interesting. Now, my father always talked about the birds on the thing getting warmed up on the, you know, the electrical wires. You'd see them, right?
Oh, right.
So my father used to talk to Mariah when she was little. So, you know, I'm not saying it's connected to my father so much, but isn't that weird about blowing up and there's no blood? You know, I don't know. Just saying. What do you guys, Steve, Bobby, everything?
Well, you know, it was one of those big ravens, wasn't it? Those big black ones?
No, I think they might have been a hawk because I was reading some, and I did some research in San Diego, La Jolla, anybody else having bird issues. So they were no hawks. I would think they were, maybe red hawk. You're right. You're right about that. Yes.
Wow.
So I don't know. Interesting, though.
That is very interesting. Probably. Like, hello, I'm here. Hello, I'm
here. That's what I say. Even though the bird saw its demise, I don't know. I thought it was fascinating.
I want you to know I haven't left you. I'm still with you. You know?
Yeah, so I just want to put that out there because my daughter's, you know, she's different than I am. She's not all woo-woo. But, I'm not a woo-woo. But, you know, she's a neuroscience. Everything is scientific. But she's it was an interesting thing. It was. And if a bird's going to die the way it was doing, I didn't see it to be an awful and scary thing. I told her I thought it was more beautiful. But it blew up in pieces around her, but no blood. Nothing.
Amazing.
No,
it must have been a spirit bird. It probably was.
Maybe it was, yeah. So I wanted to run it by you. So I'll let Mariah know and let her hear about it because I was trying to let her. She was just freaked out and upset.
Oh,
you know?
So wow. I think that it was emphasizing that her grandfather was still there.
Yeah, and then although he's gone, like that bird did leave, but he blew up. There was no, it was not gore. She did not see gore, you know, that you know, look.
It was a spirit bird.
Yeah, so maybe that was. So I'm going to tell her. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you, Maureen. And we have come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do not have time to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Be very specific and direct with your question, and this will allow us to better connect with your situation. We can only take one question per person. I repeat, this allows all of us to take the calls in the order that people are waiting. So, Bobby is first with the first call from, let me see where it's from.
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Hello.
Hello. Are you talking to me?
There you are. Hi. And if you're from South Dakota, we are.
Yes, I am.
Okay. This is Bobby. Who's this?
I have a really weird question for you, and you'd have to listen carefully.
Okay.
My son had died. He'd passed away when he was 16. And so I always have, you know, connected to different psychics. And my sister was concerned, and she got someone from, she lives in the Denver area, and she had, I don't know exactly how it was, but she said that he would open a portal. And so she did that in my room. And somehow the reading, when she was doing this over the phone, and somehow he said that there was so many spirits around that it reminded him of like a cocoon, that all these cocoons were just stacked upon each other.
Okay.
My house really drains my energy a lot, really, really drains my energy. So I'm not quite sure what they were talking about, and that just kind of haunted me. I have no idea what it was that they were referring to. Do you have any clue? Do you Have you ever heard of anything like that?
I've not. I mean, I've obviously heard of portals and things like that, but I don't know that it's an okay thing for somebody else to open up a portal in your house. I don't think that's a good idea anyway. And then especially if they do that and they don't close it for you. I don't care if their intention is to open it up for your son to come through or open it up for whatever great intention they may have. In some of my experiences, and it doesn't have to be this way all the time, but in some of my experiences, just opening up a portal is like opening up a door and anybody can walk through. Your loved ones, other entities, negative energies, all kinds of things. And so, again, I don't ever believe that it's all right for somebody to do that. And that's just, I mean, I have my own personal opinions and perceptions about those kinds of things or, you know, feelings. So I may be disagreed with in this particular occasion. I don't feel it's a good thing. It feels kind of negative to me as well. And so, and plus, when I communicate with somebody, I don't open up a portal. I just talk to the person. You know what I mean? That comes through. So I'm not sure what your question is, or if you're wanting to know how to deal with it, or you're just wanting to know what it was. And I think it's exactly as you described it. But it just feels negative to me. And if your house drains you, there's got to be, either somebody who's close to you that you can, psychic or somebody who specializes in the field. I would recommend that you have them come to your house. Do we know each other on a personal level? I didn't get your first name.
We might, but it wasn't the portal I was referring to. They were talking about that there were so many spirits that it was like a cocoon. There was like cocoons stacked on each other.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking about the whole portal, and I just went off on
that. Or whether they were actually like that.
I think it's a matter of personal perspective. I think that if that's the way your son was describing it, that doesn't have to be the way it is. I think that they also have their perceptions on the other side, and they describe to us how it is for them. I have many different people that come through, and because a lot of people ask me what heaven is like, you know, or what is it like where our loved ones are at, and I get many, many different answers. I think it's depends on the person's perception, and plus I've not died yet, so I don't know what it's like over there. And I don't think anybody will until we actually cross over. We can only give, again, our perception, but I guess I could have saved you a bunch of time. I'm sorry. I've not heard of everybody lined up like cocoons or so much spirits over there. I've not heard that particular scenario. But again, I would just be open to the idea that just because you hear that one particular scenario doesn't mean that's the way it is for everyone. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
So, okay, but so I was going to offer, again, if your house drains you, it should not. Your house is your power house. That should be your sanctuary. And I would definitely look into maybe taking care of that in a particular way. And
okay. Well, thank you, Bobby.
Okay, so it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Let me see if I can clarify this. It wasn't my son that I think was explaining that. It was the guy that my sister was connected to in Denver.
Okay. So let me rephrase, and then we have to move on to another caller. Okay. This is not okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. Then
I don't like the way that the psychic said whatever he was saying. I don't resonate with it, and I think it's very negative energy. So again, it's all perceptive. And if that's the way he was describing it, then that's the way he saw it. But I guess I just misunderstood your whole question, I suppose, of who was saying what and what all of this is and what you were really asking of me. But maybe, you know, you can come by when I'm in the chat room at some point and we can chat a bit further about it if you like. But we kind of have to move on to other callers now. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Bobby.
Sure.
There was that pause. I thought you were done, but that's okay.
I thought we were.
I completely agree with you, though. Close that portal or whatever. That's a no-no right there.
Well, I think, like I said, I must have misunderstood the whole thing because she was describing, I thought it was her son, because she started off with her son had died, and so then I thought it was her son that was describing this or whatever. But overall, the whole thing just felt ugh, didn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Okay, Steve, you're next with a call from Wisconsin.
Thank you. Who's calling from Wisconsin? Hi. My name is Vicky.
Sorry, your name is?
Pardon me?
What's your name?
Vicky.
Vicky. Hi, Vicky. How are you doing?
Vicky, V-I-C-K-I.
Victoria. Oh, sorry, Dickie. How can I help?
I have a question about the next year, coming year. I have just spent the last 6 months just devastated from a breakup of 16 years. And I'd like to know if there's anything to look forward to romantically, or if my past relationship will be repaired. I need some help. Something to, some kind of hope.
Okay.
Can you give me some kind of
hope? Well, I first thing my guides want to say to you is you must embrace the fact that life is wonderful, life is full of opportunity, and you're no longer in that relationship, but you can look back constantly and mourn that relationship, or you can look to the future and accept the fact that you are now free to create the life that you choose to create. So my guides show me the world, and they show me this image because it's symbolic of the fact that the world is at your feet. You can now create what you choose to create. But you have a tendency to be far too hard on yourself. You have a tendency to go inward and come to the conclusion that everything is your fault, and it's not. You need to stop making yourself feel responsible for everything that occurs. I in honesty, I see you moving forward. I see you taking your time to heal. I remember somebody saying to me once, well, now you're out of your relationship, you can appreciate yourself and you can learn to spend time with yourself and get engaged in the things in life that you're most passionate about. And it really didn't resonate with me when I was in pain. When I was still mourning the relationship, it just didn't resonate. But in time, it does resonate, and it is good advice. And you will see that in, I feel, 3-4 months, you will really feel more excited about your life. And you'll move forward into the spring of next year feeling very differently. But at the moment, you're still processing the end of your relationship. You need to nurture yourself. You need to honor yourself with all of the things that you enjoy, the things that give you comfort. Be kind to yourself at this time. And the universe or spirit will take care of you. You'll be just fine. You have made the right choice. That's what I feel for you.
Will I eventually meet somebody?
Sorry?
Do you see me eventually meeting somebody or starting over again?
I do, absolutely. But the key is you loving and honoring yourself. And as you heal, as you learn to enjoy each moment and rediscover your relationship with yourself, then all kinds of opportunities will come along.
Thank you.
And I'm drawn to the month of October. I feel that if you focus on your healing and your relationship with yourself, and enjoy next spring and summer, I feel that as winter draws in, you will meet somebody else. That's what my guides share with me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lots of love to you.
Bless you.
You too. Good luck.
Thank you, Steve. That was great.
Yes, it was. Very nice.
Yeah, it was very compassionate. Okay, Maureen, you're next from New York.
Hi, New York, Bobby. I mean, Tommy. Bobby, sorry.
Hi, Bobby. Maureen. Bobby, I would like to brain. Know.
Hi, Tommy, Bobby, Schmabby. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, honey, how are you? Long time no chat.
God, it's great to hear your voice. I'm ready for you.
All right. You know, I've had ups and downs for a long time. I just, you know, I mean, started seeing this girl, thought everything was going great. We all thought it was going great. Everything was going really good, actually, a little faster than I thought. She broke it off today.
Today just she broke it off?
Yeah, and it was kind of, when it was over an email, kind of, more than anything, which I sent her a long email last night, because this has kind of been weird. She has a four-year-old daughter. It's tough, you know, and she has a hard time letting anybody into her life because of her four-year-old. I sent her a long email last night stating that, you know, this is kind of unfair to me, you know, just off. Being off.
Okay. So, Bobby, Tommy, you came this far, as far as I haven't talked to you in a long time. You two reconnected, and now you're telling me this is now another circle of the whole, it's a full circle. Okay. All right. So, do you want me to check in to see what?
Yeah. It's going to work out. I mean, she said, just let's step back and see what happens.
Okay, I got it.
You know, I get that it's not you, it's me. You don't like to hear that it's not you, it's me.
No,
you don't.
And also, you've been through so much, and I'm really, I didn't know that you would reconnect. So this is all new. Okay, the thing of it is, this is what this is my feeling. It does look like she's preoccupied, and I don't know why the reason would be, but she's pretty self into her own, she's being self, again, she's done this, as I can recall, she has done this before. In her family or whatever, she kind of gets, she's highly influenced by others. Okay. So it's almost like in a way she seems suspicious. I'm not saying that there's someone giving this in her ear or whatever, but it's almost like she's feeling, you know, Tommy, things aren't what they appear to be. It does look like a disconnection is going to be going on for the next couple months. But there's something going on that is not being presented to you in a way that, I always call it intellectually being raped. It's kind of harsh. Mm-hmm. But you know when people can tell you, you know, so many people, and there's actually gossip or it's not fact, because there's something else going on I just don't think you're aware of. And I don't feel that it's because of you so much, but I think she's just not wanting to deal with it. So, like, let's say if you knew the real reason, maybe it was because someone said something about you not being the best person or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. There's something happening. She also, I get the feeling that she's also really wanting to be a woman of substantial being, you know, and taking and be successful. I see that heading her way. There's so many people, I think, in her head, or she's thinking they're more important. This relationship is detaching. I don't see it to be over again, but it's really about how much are you going to take after all this time, right?
All right, so you're not sure where, because I mean, she just keeps saying, let's take steps back and see where it goes. I want to talk to you all the time. I want to hang out with you. But for now, until she can get herself straightened out and figure out what she wants and who she can be with. And she said, you know, she does this every relationship, she said. She lets him in and then just closes the door.
Yes, I know that. I remember that part. The thing is, Tommy, this is what my suggestion is to you, and it's very important because I know you can do this. Boundaries. Get the boundaries and stand by the boundaries. I feel you two have unfinished business, but I do feel that she's gotten kind of used to you being really kind of going along with the plan, whatever she wants. Remember, that's how it's been about what she wants. So I suggest you get boundaries. And you know, I didn't know what that meant until I was in my 30s. I just feel very strongly because you are deserving of boundaries like anybody else. But also I think it would help her start taking responsibility because I do feel she deeply cares for you. But it's been too easy for her not to have anything going. She doesn't have to do really much of anything. She says, it's not you, it's me, that, you know, that stuff. No, because she has no boundaries. You've had no boundaries with her. You've been too dysfunctional with that. Do you know that? I feel I'm being hard on you because I care.
I did everything for her plus, you know, and I think she didn't like that. She's very independent.
Well, yeah, but you're in a relationship, and the relationship can be independent together as a team. You know?
Okay. So you don't think this is over then? It's just...
No, I don't. But I think it could very well be if you don't stand up to the plate with boundaries. That's all I got to say, because she needs to involve you in what's really going on. I think there's something else going on with her that's not just whatever. And you need to say no. You know, I just think, Bobby, you really need to – you're deserving of it, and that's participating in a real healthy relationship. By her not calling the shots, you've always been, you know, hanging around and being patient. No, this time you need to say, no, I want boundaries. Being not, you know, it's – that's – you're taking control of a healthy relationship.
This is a new girl that I've only dated a couple months, Brian.
Pardon me?
This is a new girl I've only dated a couple months, though.
Oh, okay, but it is, but it's the same pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, it is kind of, because I've seen about the last one. It is kind of. It sounds like to me, because I didn't know it was a new one, so there you have it. Tommy, do yourself a favor. Don't get back into the same pattern, because you deserve better. But I don't think she's a bad person. I think you just need to get out of that pattern that you have always had that brought you anguish, that didn't bring you success.
Just give her the space and give myself
time. Yes, you just give her some time frame on it, and also not just too much space, because you know what happens there with the last person. Yeah. Remember?
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
I hope I helped you. Let me know how you're doing. You know, email me to say hi, you know, through the psychic access and stuff, okay? I'm really glad to hear you.
Honey.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tommy. And I'm rooting for you, okay?
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Tommy.
Thanks, Maureen. That was really a nice reading. That was a good reading.
Except you only called him Bobby like 3 times.
She's got Bobby on the brain. What's up?
But Tommy, I love Tommy. Bobby, about you.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I'm next from North Carolina. So there. Hello, North Carolina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How can I help you this evening?
I thought that you were talking about animal communication tonight.
We were. Our guest was animal communication. Do you have a question in regards to that, or do you have an animal you want to communicate with?
There was an animal that I wanted to communicate with.
Okay, so what's your question?
Is he around in spirit, basically?
Okay, let's take a look here. You know, I'm feeling that, especially this time of the year, I do see him around. I see him around in one of his favorite places, like he used to hang around with. And I can also feel his energy, too. Very warm. I mean, it's distressing you that you can't see him, but I almost feel that you could, out of the corner of your eye, see him. And he travels with you wherever you go, too. How long has he been passed?
March 2nd will be a year, so it's about 10 months.
He was definitely a little soulmate for you, and he gave you so much. And it looks like at the time of his passing, he kind of said goodbye to you. He wants you to know that he's in a safe place and he's able to run and play. I see him running and playing and having being able to eat like he used to love to really eat. Did he have some problems eating at the end?
He was doing pretty good, but he did love to eat. He was a big eater.
I know you miss him, and you know he's with you still. He's just right there behind the veil. And one of the things that he's telling me, and he's showing me the color red and something favorite of his that was red. And he also misses another family member, too, a younger girl. And, he's over the Rainbow Bridge. He's with another animal, too, that he's playing with. And it's an animal from your past, too, from a long time ago. So I hope that helps you. I know it's just so hard to lose a pet. I just lost one of my horses 27 years we were together.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It is difficult.
It is very difficult, yes. But I see him, I see your dear companion just cuddling up next to you, and especially this, the holiday season, you're going to have a lot of like little things that remind you, and even you're going to feel his energy. One particular spot in the house, too.
Okay.
Okay?
I hope so. Okay.
Look Thank forward to much. It, my dear. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Bobby, you have a caller from Virginia.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Hello, Bobby.
I know.
How are you?
I'm good. What did you say your name was?
B.
Oh, hi, B. Okay. What can I do for you? What would you like to talk about?
I am getting ready to go on vacation around Christmas time with a friend of mine. Do you see me having a good time, or do you see us bickering, and what is exactly is going to kind of, you know, bloom for this situation?
So you're asking me if you're going to have a good time on vacation, is what you're asking.
Right. I hope we're not bickering and fighting throughout the whole entire vacation. I hope not.
Well, you know, this... Because of the changes that the other person has gone through in the past couple of months, they've actually, I don't know if we're talking about a he or she, but they've actually gone through some growing up a little bit. There's been some spiritual development, some spiritual growth, more listening, although still pretty easy to be stubborn. In other words, you know how you can say something and just close off, and then it's just their opinion. And it gets very easy still for them to do that, but they are still more open to listening. Do you know what I mean? So, like, some things have changed, but you may notice that they're still kind of quick to shut down. But the whole point, and I believe this entirely, if you both did not want to have a good time or heal or connect in some better way, this trip would not have been organized. You guys would not be going. The universe is so powerful that way. And now you both are co-creators in this. And otherwise, it would just be you going and not the other one, or they would be going and not you, or you know what I mean? So there's a commonality here that if you can look at the bigger picture, that both of you have this in common, at least spiritually, your higher self, however you want to say it, has this in mind to try to heal with each other and finally get past all the bickering. You know what? The bickering for both of you. Now, what happens is, again, this is particularly just for you two, but it happens with only about 7 billion people on the planet, that it's really a way for you guys to open up communication. Where the bickering starts to go wrong is when you guys just dig your heels in and then there is no movement. You know what I mean? But bickering for you two is just a way to connect. It's just a way to start the conversation or the phone call or however you want to connect with it and whatever you want to explain it as. And then it opens up to more areas that can go a lot deeper. So just be aware of when you start feeling tight in your stomach. You know that feeling when it starts to clutch at you just a little bit. Start being aware of when that happens. Then you know that you need to steer the conversation in a different direction. What you guys started off as, what you guys are trying to really accomplish going there. You see what I mean? Does that make sense so far?
Okay.
Okay.
So, at least we'll both have fun.
What's that?
I said we both will have fun. Is that what you're saying?
Well, fun is relative, isn't it? You need to go and just... intent on having a good time. I mean, I think I've only been asked one other time. Somebody said, I'm going on vacation. Am I going to have a good time? It's like, well, make it a good time. You know what I mean? So I can understand where you're concerned, but this is a good trip for both of you. I'm trying to get to the bigger meaning than just both of you going on vacation, having a good time. Maybe I took you in a place you didn't necessarily want to go to, but I was trying to make it a little bit more deeper than just having a good time on your vacation. So okay, good. So, keep that in mind, and I think you both will actually have a better time than what you think. But, you know, it's completely up to the both of you, isn't it? We have to make an effort to have a good time. So I wish you both the best. Okay. I hope you do.
Cool. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Bobby. Okay, Steve, you're next from Indiana.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Indiana?
Steve, it's Leah.
So your name is?
Leah.
Leah. Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can I help?
Well, as you can tell in the chat room, I was doing homework for school. I want to know if I'm on the right path for my degree. Am I taking the right classes for the degree?
Well, you're taking the right classes for the degree. Let me see.
Or am I in the right degree program?
Okay, this is what my guide say to you, Leah. You're always in the right spot, and the program you've chosen was right for you to choose that program. That's what you're meant to be doing now. Is it what you are ultimately going to focus on? Does it revolve tightly around the role you'll take in the world? I don't feel it does, but I do feel it's taking you in the right direction. You mustn't underestimate how important it is for you in your life path to have huge spiritual fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You have a tendency to presume that certain things are not possible for you. And my guides are saying to you, you know what you want to be doing. You love people. You're interested in healing. You're very interested in spirituality and metaphysics, just as we are, the hosts on this radio show. You're interested in psychology. You're interested in behavior. And that's the direction I feel you taking.
Okay, that was a direction I wasn't expecting, but okay.
I mean, do you feel that you're on the right program for the longer term?
Part of me does and part of me doesn't.
Okay.
So I can keep going in and opening up my own business, but I'm not quite sure what that business will be.
I feel it will be related. I feel strongly it will be related to spirituality. I don't feel that right now is the time for you to create a business in the sense that I feel you viewing a business as an organization that you create or a place that you create as bricks and mortar. And spirit are saying, think of it very differently. You are the business. Make the business about you and what you have to offer the world. And don't tie yourself down right now with facilities or an infrastructure, because you don't need to do that at this point in time. But you do need to get clarity about the role you want to take in the world, and you need to build a bridge towards that. But you are doing the right things. It's all meant to be this way. But I see you making some big decisions. I actually feel by the beginning of February you'll have a very clear plan, and you'll know exactly where you're going, and you'll be very excited about it, and it won't be stressful to you. When you pursue your passion and your natural talent, it should flow. It should just flow, like nature flows. But I see you taking a very spiritual route.
Okay, that makes sense.
Good. Well, good luck to you. Go for it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, Maureen, you've got a call from Colorado.
Thank you. Hi, Colorado. How are you? I like Colorado. I live there. Hello? I know they're there. Hello, Colorado. Colorado? It's the way I say it. Durango? I lived there. Colorado? Lovely place to ski. That's Colorado there.
Let's go to South Dakota. It seems like they must have gone away.
Okay. South Dakota. Hi. Maybe we're in the vortex. Hi, South Dakota, Colorado, or anywhere else in between. Hi.
Colorado?
There, I heard someone. Hi. Hi. Are you calling from where?
Dakota, South Dakota.
Hi, South Dakota. And what's your name, please?
Let's go with Rose.
Rose. Hi, Rose. I'm ready. What can I help you with?
Well, we just lost a puppy recently, and I'm just wondering if she is happy. It was a very bad accident.
A puppy. Oh, I'm sorry. That's hard. A puppy. Okay. And when you and this puppy connected in a relationship that, you know, you do when you bring home, did you know that there was anything? I don't think there was sickness, but I feel you're the one that's having a lot of problems. I feel the puppy didn't feel the pain, whatever might have happened. I'm not clear on that. But the puppy's happy. And I know intellectually you probably know that too. But I think I think that there's a special place for our animals. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that's just what I feel I know. And I do feel that I think that you're feeling that you could have done something in a way. Was the puppy hurt by a vehicle or something?
Yeah, it was.
Was
yeah,
well,
vehicle.
I just keep picking up that you're taking on way too much of this. I'm not sure who was driving whatever, but the vehicle wasn't up to par, and it could. But regardless of that, and also it feels like there was no control. And I don't know the whole complete story, but I feel the puppy's doing fine. It's you, Rose, that is concerning to me about being fine. I think your puppy would want you to be fine. And I don't see there's nothing wrong. Even when, human being or whatever animal, our animals and us, without the animals, I don't think we'd be very good humans. And even with the bears, that are those kind. But I do feel that it would be nice for you to try to, because I think you feel you have no strength available sometimes, like you're wondering, because it was a puppy and everything, but I feel that I'm worried about you because you look so sad in the months where the sun should be shining, and the situation with this vehicle is a real, I don't know what it is about it. I'm seeing it. It wasn't maintained. Something, it could have been avoided, I know, but it is what it is. Unfortunately, how sad it is. But for me, I feel that if you want to feel the puppy's energy or however you want to do it, there's nothing wrong if people tell you, oh, just get another one, replace it. You can't replace it. No one can replace the emotional attachment, even if it was for a short while. It won't work. So you grieve. You need to grieve, even if it was a short time. The puppy's doing fine, but it's you that I would like to be happy. And has anybody told you, go get a puppy, immediately replace it?
Well, we're thinking about it, yeah.
I'm just giving you a little suggestion. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, but you know what? I think it's hard. No one wants to grieve, but I think it would be to your advantage, too. I think you'd feel better. And I'm not saying everybody should grieve, but I think it's always different. But you had a relationship with a short while, but an emotional attachment to that particular puppy. And that puppy's now gone. But to go out and get another one, it's almost like one day it might hit you and you'll feel sad. I'm just giving you a little bit because, replacing, you can't never replace an individual or something because there's always going to be different, Just yeah. Saying. I would give it a few months if that. And I feel the puppy's doing fan, and the puppy was okay when this happened, and it wasn't your fault. It wasn't anything you could have been. But this car thing, I just don't know, Rose. There's something more to it, and I don't have the time to go. I only have 5 minutes, but I hope I helped you. But I do see you being able to be okay, but it's you. I feel that it's, I don't know. I feel you need to grieve a little bit and then get another puppy, and I think you'll feel better. The puppy's fine. He'll come back in another puppy form in somebody else and they'll be in the home. But I feel that way. Anyway, well, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but that's how I feel. So give yourself a little space to grieve. Just give yourself a little time. It's normal. It's human. And then don't replace it. Just find a new addition, you know. Okay? I hope that helped. All
right. Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rose. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's so sad when a puppy has to die or a kitten. You know, their lives are so precious.
I know.
But, you know, in some ways, Maureen, I have to say I disagree a little bit with you. And I want to have to disagree, but sometimes they leave so another one can enter.
You know, I agree with that, but I think that some people can think they can replace something. And then I'm just saying they should take time to really, because there's attachment. They're all different feelings, you know, different animals. It's not always the same.
That's true.
But no, I know, I agree with you on that one, absolutely, though. But the way I was saying, you know, I don't know. Sad.
Well, thank you, Maureen. That was,
You're
I
welcome.
Hope that gives her peace. I can tell that it did. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Don't you agree, you guys? Wasn't it a good show?
It was a lovely show.
Our guest was awesome. She really was. And I want thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes. He keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve, and we'll be talking about crystal skulls. I can't wait for that one. I'm going to have my crystal skulls out. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Psychicaccess.com.